White. Armidale, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. November 18th, 1895. My son, Edson. I have written you some things, but I have more to say in regard to your past history. You have made mistakes. You have injured your influence. You have been improvident of money. You even spend it before you receive it, calculating on the fair prospect of what is to come. But even if you should have a large inflowing of means, you are to redeem the past. Hold in stern check your inclination to spend that money freely, for it is God's money. There is a point in your character that needs to be crucified daily, and you practice in character the life of your self-denying, self-sacrificing Savior. The whole world was his, and yet how self-denying his life. Wants will accumulate with you if you will allow them, and you will obtain things to make your position complete and invest means for things that you could do without. Reveal to others you are converted from these errors. Now, Edson, I have something to tell you. Strange things will take place ere long in the review office. There will be a cleansing of the temple. I feel very confident that if you walk humbly with God, that he will continue to abundantly bless you. But do not do the least thing to give an excuse to those who are watching you for evil, who will make the most of anything they shall see similar to the past, which has been a free use of money if you have it to use, and a desire to accumulate this, that, and the other. This has been the greatest failure of Daniel's, notwithstanding all the advice and counsels and reproof given him. He did not heed the light given, but when tempted by the enemy, in the place of learning by the things he had suffered, he entered into the temptation. It became a fixed habit of his character to expend money until he would obtain it by lying, dishonest means. Now, my son, carefully cherish every dollar. Times are growing harder. The curse of God is upon the world. Mercy is being withdrawn from the earth. Sin is triumphing. Iniquity prevails. And the time we have to work is very small. I therefore entreat of you, as God's messenger, be on your guard. For you need to take tenfold more care now that you are gaining the confidence of the people of God, to retain that confidence and not give them any occasion for uneasiness. Here is your time now to resist any inclinations to large plans and outlay of means. Henry and others have assented in times past to your pursuing a course in some things not wise, not justifiable in you. When you entered into false paths through the providence of God, you were not prospered. You were terribly entangled and humiliated. When you looked for pity and sympathy, you did not find it. You were repulsed and crowded down low as they could crowd you. Now these men are watching you. They care not to have you recover yourself, and if any course you may take will give them the least chance, they will repeat with triumph what they have said before. I told you that Edson White cannot be trusted. There are decided messages to come to Henry and Harmon Lindsay. I have withheld them for months. You are my son, and if these men see that you can be represented in dark colors, they will do this, and all who have like minds, which are not a few, will unite with them. Put up with inconveniences. I have to do it, Edson. I have, at my age, to get along economically. I do not use meat and butter upon my table. Meat is full of disease. A moderate use of butter I do not condemn as unhealthful as the eating largely of porridge and milk and cream. But I saw so many ways for money to be used in the cause of God, I did not feel free to pay for butter. We have plenty of fruit of some kinds. No cranberries, no currants, or small fruits in the locality where we live, but we have peaches, oranges and lemons, apricots, nectarines, plums, and pears. But, Edson, you must learn to avoid even the appearance of that evil which has so oft shipwrecked your life and destroyed your influence. You belong to God. You have dedicated yourself to God, soul, body, and spirit. You are not your own. You are bought with a price, even the precious blood of the Son of God. You are therefore to study carefully at every step from cause to effect. You are to guard your influence as a precious treasure to be used by the Lord in His service. Your only way now will be to be conscientiously careful of making large plans. You have a tact in this line that, if kept in complete subjection to God and bound about with the counsel of others and your own calm reflection, will be a blessing. Your fruitful imagination in this line, your perceptiveness, will be a great blessing in the cause and in the work of God. But it is the misuse of the precious gifts and talents that makes these endowments to you and others a curse rather than the rich and valuable blessing that they should be, not only to yourself, but to the Holy One who has given you these precious gifts. You plan so many things that the human and the divine become mixed, and you are confused yourself to distinguish between them. And where these precious gifts might have proved a rich blessing, they became a curse. I have been recently receiving this testimony for you from God. Handle the Lord's money carefully, with sanctified judgment, calculating a prosperous income. If you will stand the test, beware where you have failed again and again. You give evidence that the transforming grace of God has made you another character. Old things have passed away, and lo, all things have become new. The Lord has given you sharp, clear insight in His Word, if you will keep in the right line. Let not yourself become degraded by the perversion of the gifts of God, the entrusted capabilities which are meant to ennoble you and make you to increase in wisdom and in knowledge, and in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God would make you a standard-bearer, but it is in constantly bearing His cross, wearing His yoke, lifting His burdens, that you are safe. Enter not into temporal enterprises, hoping large things. Here is where your feet have slid from the true foundation. Keep in living connection with God. Speak to the hearts and consciences of men perishing in their ignorance. Hidden in Christ yourself, your words will be not in human power, but in the language of Jesus Christ. Religion brought into the daily life, the truth practiced, will be strength in influence, which is the Lord's entrusted capital to be wisely invested. I have written to you a letter in regard to uniting with me in my work of pamphlet making and bookmaking. I have no helper now in Fanny. I have disconnected from her for weeks at a time. She cannot do anything. Often, when I am the most hard-pressed, she is so out of working order, I require nothing of her. Marion has shouldered the burden. But Edson, I do not want to urge you, although I want you so much. If it is the will of God to go forward where you are, God bless you. I will pray for you. God will sustain you. Now is a very critical time with the publishing institution at Battle Creek. Edson, if ever in your life there is need of your walking carefully, it is now. You have an active mind, and you think rapidly and act earnestly. I ask you, my son, to enter into communion with God. Depend wholly upon God. Make no moves without counsel. The Lord God of heaven will encircle you in the arms of his mercy. I greatly desire that you give yourself wholly to the ministry. I am pleased with your ideas of getting out books, but even in this I fear for you. Once begin to have your mind diverted, and it sweeps in a large territory. My son, give not the slightest chance for the enemy to wedge himself in. The matter was presented to me by my guide that you were in danger of planning and devising altogether too much. You will gain the confidence of all, even if some do not express it, if you will manifest very great caution. You generally speak your thoughts without weighing them well. Please do weigh your thoughts carefully, and let the hastily expressed words be withheld. Elder Olson needs all the help that you can possibly give. Let not one word or action cast a weight upon him. Edson, the man is borne down as a cart beneath sheaves. He sees almost everything going wrong and does not put out his hand to right matters, feeling he shall be crushed under the load. I know, Edson, that if you keep a living connection with the source of all power, God can and will make you a blessing to Elder Olson. But do not make hasty moves. He has hard-headed and hard-hearted, willful, stubborn men to deal with. The Lord has led you, and I now trust you in the hands of God, who can guide you and give you wisdom. Be not very free to make confidants. They will, if not connected with God, hurt you. I am sore distressed over matters that are working in an undercurrent. I tell you, Brother Olson has not known and taken in the fact that he cannot trust men who have not discernment to know where the Spirit of the Lord is working. Men who cannot distinguish light from darkness and error from truth. Men who know not who is their counselor and leader. Brother Olson's soul is precious, too precious to be burdened and weighted down with men he is linked up with. I have reason to know in regard to these matters. I have decided that Mary Stewart is not the one to help me. I spoke of Sister Hall at South Lancaster. Will you ask Brother Cavanus in regard to her and let me know?
I sent word you could draw $300 for the purpose of settling your debts. If you do not need it for the purpose of settling your debts that you wrote were pressing, use it. And when you can, return the same to me, for I study economy in every line. We must have meeting houses built right here, and if I were unable to hire money some places out of this country, I cannot tell how we would advance the work. Many times the Lord opens the way. I feel deeply over my helpless condition in regard to help, but I am not going to make a rush. I am going to make haste slowly. Let us seek counsel of God. He will help us. Much love to Emma and yourself, Mother. I almost forgot to tell you, Sarah McEnterfer is with me. I became very ill one night. Some thought I should die, but Sarah was telegraphed for, and what a comfort it is to have her with me. She gives me good treatment. She works in the most perfect, thorough manner. She also uses the typewriter. I could not afford to have her just to give me treatment, but she can help me in so many ways. Mother,